This is Corporate Cafecito, where we discuss career development and entrepreneurial growth strategies. I'm Mario Rodriguez.
Y yo soy Nayeli Suarez-Guez. Go get your cafecito and let's talk about professional growth.
Welcome back to another episode of Corporate Cafecito. I am Mario Rodriguez.
Y yo soy Nayeli Suarez-Guez. And today we are going to talk about something that's super important. It is understanding your leadership style, who you are, how you show up to work, and what's your dominant style?
Yeah, there's a total of six of them. The first one that I wanted to kind of talk about that I think most of us have been exposed to is that authoritarian style, right? Those that just are, there is no wiggle room. This is what we have to do. And this is, there's no why behind it, but we got to get it done, right? They impose expectations and define the desired outcomes and that's it, right? There's no why and what's in it for you, how to get it done. So it's really a commanding type of style.
Yeah. It's also very clear, right? Like who's the leader and yeah. Who are the members. And, you know, I'm gonna always play devil's advocate because I don't think there is a bad leadership style. In times of chaos,
you need
the
that.
Authoritarian shines, mm-hmm. right? You can't have a prolonged experience to an authoritarian leader. But if you have a situation where you need rapid action, where you need someone to make decisions quickly and based on their experience, the authoritarian leadership style is really the one that shines during that time.
Yeah, the decision-making, to your point, is efficient and it produces just consistent results.
Right. And it's when you have this type of leadership, it works if the team believes in the leader and they trust them so they can give them the control and just, you know, the leader just kind of says like, you do this. You know, it's very commanding, doesn't really listen to the group. So that part is definitely something that's not very motivating. But like I said, if you're in a crunch time or you're in chaos or there's something bad that happened, usually the authoritarian comes into play and can quickly take over, make decisions. But with prolonged exposure, you know, this will ruin the morale and the sentiment of the team.
Yeah, they usually come in and the perfect time for this style of leadership is when a team has been thirsting for some type of clarity, some type of direction, right?
Yes.
And so that's the time to kind of put that in. And once things are headed in the right direction, you have to think, you know, you have to pivot, right? You have to pivot to that because no one likes to be controlled.
100%. Like you think about people who start quiet quitting, it's probably because they just get ordered to do things. They come in, they do what they're ordered to do, and then they just want to leave, right? Get away from this control environment where you don't have any freedom, you don't have a voice. And you know what? Authoritarian can be also something that you pull out when needed.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't have to be something that is done always. It could just be in this, you know, and maybe you say, hey, trust me on this one, everyone, but we need to do this.
And sometimes it's that individual that you're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. They need more structure. Those individuals that like to just be, tell me what I got to do.
Exactly.
Right. And that's just the way they operate. So it's not a one size fits all. But my experience has been that, you know, that individual does paint everyone with the same brush. But there's been more flexibility with meshing of leadership styles over the years that there is a time and place for that.
Right. And, you know, in the last episode, we talked about the manager. And that is definitely someone who comes to mind when I think about the authoritarian leader.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It is someone who may also get the power based on the title, not necessarily their actions or what they've done.
Definitely. So moving on to another style of leadership is that transactional, right? This is a transactional leader. So this individual is just to motivate their employees to achieve their objectives, right? It's like, all right, so they're rewarded or punished. So here's the deal. And give me an example. Hey, we hit the metrics. You know, this is what basically taking you guys out to eat. We don't hit that, then you know what? We're taking something away from them. So it's very punitive in an aspect of that, right?
Yeah, it's like something you'll need therapy for, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, so it's transactional based. There is no depth. There is no type of relational connection there whatsoever. It's like you're here for a purpose and you're very, you know, disposable and we'll move on, right? You're replaceable is the word, not disposable, but replaceable.
But, you know, I think, like I said, I'm going to play devil's advocate mm-hmm. for each one. Sometimes when you're in sales, this is all you need, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my work. You put that bonus. I hit my number. You give me my bonus. Mm-hmm. It's very mm-hmm. black or white. It's not subject to any kind of objective criticism or anything. It's like, hey, here is my clearly defined role. This is what I do. And if I hit this, I will get X. Yeah. If you perform up to here, you know, you may be promoted. If you get here, you'll get a, you know, 10% bonus.
Yeah, there's their clarity, right? Right. These first two that we just talked about provide that clarity. So that's an advantage to that. And so that individual knows exactly what they're, you know, what's expected from them. And it's an efficient way to achieve short time goals. Like, hey, it's crunch time.
Right.
Right. It's crunch time. It's the end of the year. We got to finish up strong or end of the quarter. Here's what we have to do. So definitely that's an advantage of this style.
Right. And you know what? I think that when you join a team like this, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
But I do think back to, you know, parenting styles and behaviors where they're like, do this and I'll love you. You know, do this and I'll reward you with going out to dinner, like you said, you know. So it could also become a very parent-child relationship, which is not something you want in the workplace. You want an adult to adult. You want someone who's going to speak to you, you know, in a manner that's like befitting of the relationship. When you join a transactional team, you know, I mean, I default to sales because that was my main, I love sales, but you were given the number and you had to hit it. And when you weren't hitting that number, you were told you're not hitting the number. You were told that you needed to adjust your behavior. You were told that, you know, we always made the joke, you can miss your number once, but after that, the transaction's over.
This style is very good for a linear type of process when the problems are not complicated, they're simple. Because to what your point is, there's a lack of motivation, there's a lack of creativity that's allowed.
Right.
Right. So that's again, you know, the style is perfect when problems are simple and clearly defined. But if it's a project that really allows or needs for creativity, not the right style for that.
No. And I think too, my mom, you know, my mom was an assembly line worker who made plastic bags used for food, food containment, like for bag and box slash and pour and stuff. And she would say, I knew that if I hit my number, but every box that we did above that, we get X amount of dollars. So when, you know, necesitaban tenis, I would say this week, everything I do over is to buy my kids, you know, sus tenis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's that motivation piece on there. Right. Right? It's simple. It's got it. You know, it's very defined, right? It's very defined on what they're allowed to do.
Hi, everyone. This is Nayeli. As you start planning for 2024 and wrap up 2023, in order to help you prepare, I will be hosting a workshop on January 13th to assess your leadership style and understanding the best way to communicate. That way you can kick off 2024 and be the best version of you. Reach out at www.corpcafecito.com for more information.
Nayeli, take us to the third one. What's the third leadership style that you've known?
Well, you know what? I really like the democratic one. To me, when you are able to participate, when you are able to lead, to join, it's one of the most effective leadership styles because you allow people to give input. You allow them to feel like they're contributing. People will, you know, we could say, hey, we're all going to share our ideas. We're going to pick one. We're all going to decide on one. And when we leave here, we're going to get behind that one goal. And to me, when you participate, it also shows that you're engaged, that you're not, you know, you're not just leading from the ivory tower. I'm not sending the troops off to battle. I'm actually in it. And we're going to figure out how to allow input from everybody, how to have everyone have a voice.
Yeah, someone's voice, every person's voice matters, right? That's the how do you see it, right? getting that buy-in, that engagement. So, and then these leaders, right, they're also known as a participative leadership. So they offer guidance, and to your point, they're in the trenches, but they encourage that input because they also see another dynamic of the team, another way to make it happen, and maybe more effective way to do that too as well.
Right. Now, because I've been playing devil's advocate on each style, mm-hmm. you know, if you have this group that's very democratic, very, you know, everyone participates, everybody shares ideas, what you may have is like the people who are the loudest get heard the most. And then some people may not be comfortable giving their ideas. So they may feel like they're unheard or maybe unable to communicate. You may also, as the leader, be asking your team to make decisions that maybe they're not skilled to do. Maybe they don't have the input or enough of the information or the experience to do. And so they may then feel maybe resentful if they're giving you all these ideas and you're not using them, or they may start self-censoring if you ask them to brainstorm and we're doing all this and then the leader goes by their, you know, maybe takes one or two ideas, but the rest are just thrown into the garbage can. So monitoring that to make sure that everyone feels heard and everybody gets their opinion out before mm-hmm. you get an idea. And if it's always the same three people talking and it's a 10-person team, maybe the way you receive the ideas has to be changed so that everyone feels that they do have a voice.
Yeah, and it's creating that safe environment as well and finding out why is not everyone participating, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where that emotional intelligence kind of comes back into play, finding out like, all right, let's hear from someone we haven't heard from, right? What's your intel on that? And so another disadvantage to that too is that this process could be time consuming because so much input. Sometimes you get stuck with overanalyzing and not taking mm-hmm. action as well, right? So there's that balance that you have to kind of look at it. But again, it's an effective way because it's results engaged, right? Because you're actually getting the engagement from the team of how effectively can we approach this.
Right, 100%. And people may feel like they're part of it, get behind it. They feel encouraged, motivated. If the whole team gets along, it's even better because now we are performing. We are a good team. We are strong. We vote on ideas. You know, maybe the last project people voted on mine. This time we're going to go with Mario's ideas. Mm-hmm. And so there is a sense of pride in the team as well mm-hmm. that we rally and go behind an idea in a project like that.
Yep. It fosters that employee growth and development. Mm-hmm. And then it also inspires. You would think it would inspire those lower level employees that are maybe not as vocal to exercise their authority and to speak up as well.
Right.
All right. So then moving on to the last three, we have that style that's the coaching style, that collaboration, support, guidance, right? Finding out what are the desires and needs of that individual, right? What do they aspire to? And so in that, they take the time to nurture those strengths of those individuals.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, another word for that is even the transformational leadership, where you are able to motivate and inspire to drive positive change for your team, for the individual. And this has been the most popular style and also the best received, like, because it really brings out a genuine approach to making sure the team feels whole, the team feels heard, that you know them as a collective group, but also as individuals, that you're setting them up for future success and worried about their well-being. So, you know, I think about a transformational leader, and it's people who know the emotional intelligence. They're able to read cues, right? They're able to see what's not being said. They give their team the benefit of the doubt. And they assume positive intent from within their team. And when I say the benefit of the doubt, like one of the things I say a lot is good people have bad days. Mm. And a transformational leader, someone who is a coach, will help you on the good days and the bad days, but won't hold the bad days over the good days.
The style of coaching or of leading is these coaches are also visionaries, right? So they're able to guide their teams by sharing that vision, They excite them, they motivate them, and they encourage them, right? And they're also a good leader in indicating the certain skill sets that those teams need. You have to complement the skill set. One may have a strong suit in a certain area. The other one may fill in that gap, right? So that's the key thing about the coach is assembling the right team to make sure every position is really, you know, taken care of.
Hola, soy Nayeli.
Yo soy Mario.
We want to invite you to make your New Year's resolutions and make sure Corporate Cafecito is on there every week.
Happy holidays!
So when I coach, you know, I've coached over 100 individuals. Each time I coach someone, it is tailored to who they are and what they want to be. A transformational leader knows this because you have to work with the person on an individual basis. It's not about cookie cutter approaches with the transformational leader because they have to be the leader that that person needs. Part of it is understanding how to communicate, right? Communication is the number one failure of any relationship. And a transformational leader knows how to intercept and connect with each person on their team. I usually tell anyone I'm working with my preferred methods for contact. So it's email, then phone call. I'll ask my clients as well, what's the best way to get a hold of you? They'll say text or email. So I know I have to adjust my leadership style to theirs and to where what they need. And so then I switch and I'm like, okay, this person. And I even make a note in the records, text first. Mm-hmm. As if not, I'm going to call people and then people always think like, what happened? What's wrong? I'm like, nothing. I just got to say what's up. But understanding like when you are coaching, it has to be tailored to that specific person. You have to understand like everything they're bringing with them, who they are to their core and who they want to be. And a transformational leader will know that about the people on their team. I've had people on my teams that I know like sometimes someone like will snap at me and I never snap back. I want to make sure that I address it and I say, this is not who you usually are. What's up? What's going on? Do you want to talk about something? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think you meant that because of who the person I know you are. And, you know, that's when I found out, like, one of my employees' girlfriend of many years had broken up with him, mm-hmm. right? So he was on edge coming in. And I was able to diffuse that situation just by saying, this isn't who you are. What's going on outside of here? Do you want to talk about it? And the transformational leader will know when the person needs help, when the person is doing great, when you need just a pat on the back or when you need the person to like sit down next to you and build that presentation so that you have that confidence.
And again, it's just, they often mesh together because there's that coaching and then there's that transformational, right? Both what you just explained, it has that relation. You've taken the time to invest in that relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So you understand where that person's at all times. One thing that I do want to point out on the transformational is that they're also known for changing ineffective systems and replacing them with processes that work. And one thing that when I listen to or I hear the transformational leader, it's one that is empowered and leaves that individual with the systems that that individual created to propel, right, to accelerate in their growth as well. So now they have their strategy. Mm-hmm. And a strategy is not something that was given to them, but more that was able to pull out from that individual. So what works for you, Nayeli? What doesn't work for you? What are some obstacles? All right, what are you going to put into play to get you to that place? And now you're like, hey, I have a system that I could replicate
right.
and do it over and over again. So that's a transformation, you know, because there's a lot of individuals that are coaches. Great. Yeah, you're coaching them, yeah, because you're making sure that they're moving to the next piece or excelling to the outcome that we're trying to get. But the transformation that you're walking around with some skills that you didn't have before
right.
that you're like, hey, I'm equipped. I'm ready to go. So it takes me back like to the armed services here, you know, for the United States. It's like thinking of the Marine. They have a certain set of skills now that they're going to take for the rest of their life. It's ingrained with them, right? That's transformation.
And because you're part of that team, when you see someone else with that skill set, you know that you were part of the same team.
Right.
So that part is beautiful because it forms a connection even beyond, even if you were on that team 20 years ago and there's a new team, you still recognize some of the work or some of the projects or some of the processes that are in place, mm-hmm. and it feels familiar.
So take us to the last leadership style then, Ailey.
The delegative
leadership
style. I'm going to tell you, so this is probably the least productive style. It's usually when there's no members or you're blaming people or you hand the work off to someone, maybe not give them enough direction. And so people may make less progress, produce less work because you kind of just handed it off and you are just hands off for the rest of the project.
There's lack of vision. Right? Lack of direction and support. And so with that team members feeling that they're being pulled in different directions as well, right? Because it's kind of like, well, just get it done. However or wherever the road takes you, just get it done, right? So there's a lack of vision on there, which no supervision or guidance.
But I'll tell you, here's my devil's advocate on this one, is that if you have a tenured group of individuals, if you have a team of engineers that are used to creating on their own and doing things, this may be exactly the style you need, right? Just run and I'm here in the background if you need me. But other than that, just build that next, can't even think of a tech product, build the next phone. I don't know. But, you know, it's very hands off. And if your employees, if your team members are used to running on their own, they may be happy with the style of leadership because the decisions are up to them. And there may also be a very high tolerance for risk and reward because everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And then they'll come together and, you know, maybe we say like, hey, great job. Or if you make a mistake, there's not as harsh a penalty because we understand everyone operates independently.
Another advantageous area would be for those creative organizations, such as like a marketing or advertising agency. Mm-hmm. Or startups, because it promotes that independent thinking as well, right? So that's another area that this would excel in as well.
For the leader, they'd have to really trust their team.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the leader is going to be responsible. Like, that's the person who's going to sit in front of the C-suite or the board and report back on the progress. So it also shows a great deal of trust from the leader with their team.
And a great deal of discernment, like really being able to assess the skill set of that team that they're leading as well.
Right. And since there's no micromanagement, you could have faster decision making and, you know, your team may be very highly skilled to be in this position. Yeah, maybe this position would drown if they had any other type of leadership.
Yeah. It's like you said, high powered senior leadership or creative environment that requires that.
Right. You know, I do want to chat a little bit, though, because there's also situational leadership. And I think that if we look at all the different styles, we could be like, oh, I'm transformational, or I'm more democratic, or I'm more autocratic, authoritarian. But we are not one person all the time. Mm-mm. We are not, you know, consistent in anything. That's why I always tell people, don't say always or never, because there is nothing that we do at 100% always. So to me, the situational leadership is one that allows you to flex in between all of these, right? So you may be a coach, a coaching style leader where you offer lots of support, but also give a lot of direction, right? Mm-hmm. So you may be the directing and coaching, or you may be very supportive, but also transactional, right? I'm going to support you to meet your goals, but I need you to meet that goal. Or, you know, when it comes, you know, maybe you have a great rapport with your team and one day there's a fire drill and you say, I need everybody to drop everything and do this and just trust me on this. And then you become the authoritarian. So your leadership style, you'll have a dominant style, but you also have a situational style. There's that time when we need to lead through chaos. Maybe there's a time when you don't know what the right solution is. So we're going to go with the democratic approach because I don't know how to do this or how to solve this, but I know between all of us, we do.
Yeah, and this is very important to understand, especially where you're leading teams, because you have a lot of different styles on the team of how they approach their job and how they go to market, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have a different variation of skill sets, of tenure, right? So some just get out the gate running. They understand it. Others may be new to it, so then you have to reteach it. You have to be like that shepherd, right? You have to shepherd right. is like teach and feed. Get feedback. How are you doing? This is and the expectation, right? So there's that piece too. So yeah, I mean, it's good that everyone understands the different styles, because then you know what style is needed for what situation.
Right. And I do I do a lot of leadership workshops. I'm actually gonna be having one January 2024. But I think it's important to understand your dominant style and to understand the good and the bad of it and how to be, you know, how to leverage it and really find your voice so that you can communicate in a style that fits your leadership style.
Yep. And have that fluidity. Mm-hmm. That's important. Well, that sums up the leadership style series that we have here. I am Mario Rodriguez.
Y yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guez. Y aquí los esperamos la próxima vez.
Hi, I'm Alejandro Guest. This episode of Corporate Cafecito was recorded at Boulevard Studios in Oak Park, Illinois. The sound engineer is the talented Mike Mitchell. Gracias por escuchar.